This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. We got 2 hours still on the schedule, and we have a full agenda, but we always want you to partake. That's why we call it The Usual Suspects. So if you want to join the show, text or call 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can reach us like Nick is, as he's waiting to get in here. You can also reach us via Twitter. As always, we check our tweets and Twitter accounts throughout the show. But Nick wants to talk about Fly Eagles Fly. Nick, what's up?
Fly Eagles Fly, baby. So I don't know how Nick Foles went from a pile of garbage for the last 2 weeks of the season to spectacular yesterday, but I just loved every second of it. So I think that he has a little bit of that left in him. You know, he's going to be inside against the Patriots defense, which isn't great, but I mean, it's still a good defense. But what do y'all think about that?
I think it doesn't matter when Tom Brady's on the other side, because the Jags had arguably the best defense left. Minnesota had arguably the best defense left. Philly has arguably the – I mean, of the four defenses, those three were better than the Patriots. And I think that it doesn't matter if there's a guy named Tom Brady that can bring his team back regardless of what deficit his defense might put him in.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you have to hope for is what Jacksonville – talked about doing all week but wasn't really able to do enough, and that is you got to hit him. And again, and I'm not saying play dirty, but I'm saying even if there's a borderline call or two where you take a really hard shot at him after he releases it and you run the risk of a penalty, he does not like to be hit, and it does take him a little bit out of his psyche. It gets a little bit rattled sometimes. But look, you got to hope you're not in a tight game, because the blueprint that Jacksonville had was pretty solid, because for 3.5 quarters, they were leading that football game and they were doing everything right. Now, I believe Nick Foles is better than Blake Bortles, and that even as just being asked to be a game manager, I think Blake Bortles couldn't make throws that if he made the right throws at the right time, could have kept New England on their heels rather than throwing to the back shoulder when a guy was moving and needed it in front of him, or just completely overthrowing or underthrowing guys. And I don't think Foles is like that. The throw Foles made off the two throws off the run that actually put into a pretty small window yesterday were impressive. But you just don't want a close game down the stretch, because you know Brady will be Brady. And if he is, you're going to be in a tough situation. So good that you got to where you needed to be. You need Long. You need Fletcher Cox. You need those guys to really, you know, make a statement on the D-line. And then your secondary is going to have to be staunch. But, I mean, look, by all means, you got a shot. You just can't make mistakes, and you got to put pressure on Brady.
Yeah, I think, too, I like the way that Nick Foles spread the ball around. I mean, he really, if you look, no guy had 100 yards receiving, but he had guys 93, 85, 70, 60. So he really spread the ball around, too. And I think the most impressive thing wasn't even Nick Foles. It was the fact that Philly was able to run on that Minnesota front. They were able, I mean, Ajayi had almost, 80 yards rushing in the game. They had 110 total. Yep. They were able to put some yards up running the ball, and that's a really good sign. That's, if you can run the ball, then, yeah, you should be able to pass effectively, because the defense has to respect it, and they were able to.
They used the epitome of thunder and lightning. They gave you Ajayi as much as they possibly could early, and then when the defense got a little tired, and because they were a little worn down,
that's a good point,
they hit you with Blunt, and LeGarrette Blunt just steamrolled for extra yard after extra yard, pounded it right down their throat when they needed it for some ball control and to do the things that they needed to do. So, look, they have talent at all the skill positions other than the main obvious one that's going to be questioned, which is the quarterback position. Their line held up great, but their defense, we all know, it's not about New England's defense, although they are better than average, but they were moved around a little bit by Blake Bortles, especially in the first half. The big thing is, offensively, that is a well-oiled machine, and even if they took out Gronk, legal or not, they took out their biggest weapon, and he was still able to move the ball, do what he needed to do, and Danny Amendola looked like an all-pro.
That's going to be another thing. Is Gronk going to be back in time? Is he going to clear the concussion protocol?
Yeah, okay. I think in 2 weeks he'll be fine. But look, you know, whether that was intentional or not, and I know Richard Sherman was on Twitter saying, look, if he had gone for the knees there, he could have, you know, ended Gronk's season and all of next season with how devastating that could have been. He was in no man's land. But, you know, for whatever the reason, you know, Gronk was knocked out, and yet the Patriots were still able to do what they needed to do. And that's because the greatest of all time was behind center, and he did not lose his cool. You know, I don't know if you guys had heard this or not, but I kept saying, when are we going to find out how the hell he did whatever he did to his hand? Is it like top secret? And Brian Barrett, who's our resident huge Patriots fan, said that it was actually done off the belt of Rex Burkhead on a handoff on one of the earlier practices during the week. And that the big thing was is that he didn't want his season to end. And the biggest story to be that he hurt his hand on someone else's belt.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing. But they kept showing the camera shots of him getting some treatment on it. And I just, you had to wonder if it was going to affect him. And, I mean, he was effective enough in the game he did his job.
Yeah,
he brought him back 2 touchdown passes. You know, he almost threw for 300 yards. So, all in all, he has 2 weeks now to get that thumb right. And I think he'll be ready to go.
That's the thing. Now that
he can play with it as is, he's definitely going to be ready for the Super Bowl.
Just like Gronk would have been a factor if he played next weekend. But because I've never been a fan of the whole extra week off before you get to the Super Bowl. But I guess this is in part why they did it, because now guys get a chance to get healthy. Brady's hand can heal. Gronk can get back from concussion protocol, and they'll be ready to go. So
a lot of people, we mentioned it in the previous hour a little bit, but you mentioned the refs and the Jags versus the Patriots game. And a lot of people were saying that the Jags, we talked about the fumble with Charlie a little bit. I felt like that pass interference call really on that touchdown drive.
Which one? Ramsey's or Bouye?
I believe it was Ramsey's.
Around the neck? Ramsey was the one where he kind of was behind him, but used his off arm around the neck to try and knock it down, which was like a 36-yarder.
Yeah.
And the other one was Bouye and Cooks down the left side, where they were both jostling with each other. Called it on Bouye.
Yeah, that one. And I mean, you look at that. That was a big chunk play. And that was out of the, I think it was an 85-yard drive, because somebody had hit us up on Twitter. It was like, how are the Jags leading 20-10 and they're barely leading in yards?
Saw that, yeah.
And it was because they got a big chunk of that 85-yard drive. I think 45 of it was off of the pass interference. And so you look at it, and that can play a role too.
Sure.
And it's going to be interesting to see how well Philly's secondary does, because there was not a better secondary left, I don't believe, than Jacksonville's. So it's going to be interesting to see what the guys, you know, Jenkins and Mills and Darby and McLeod, and how they're able to cover Gronk and Amendola, and if they can hold up as well as Jacksonville was able to, which that's what's crazy. In the end, Jacksonville's defense is what let them down.
Yeah, they did in a lot of ways. I think Bortles let them down a little bit too, but at the same time, look, on that final drive, it wasn't like they didn't move the ball. They got it past midfield. They got the big play they needed. They got it to a position where they were all you could ask for. 2 minutes to go, you know, their side of the field, a chance to get in for the winning score, and they couldn't execute. So, and you look at what you were talking about from a New England perspective, sure, the first thing a coaching staff does, whether it's basketball or football, they see the difference in penalty yards, and everybody thinks, well, the refs had it in for them. Well, just like the Rockets in Golden State the other night, part of it is on the offensive team that is not getting those calls, being aggressive. You knew the Jacksonville offense wasn't going to be throwing balls down the field because they didn't trust Bortles. Most of the majority of the 100-plus penalty yards that that were given to the Patriots were because they were on deep balls and big chunk plays, as you mentioned, because Brady's not afraid to take the shot.
Yeah.
Bortles wasn't going to take those shots. They were dinking and dunking and game managing as they went, and so a lot of that is why New England only had the one penalty for 10 yards, but it does seem a little bit crazy that in a full NFL game, playoff game, there was only one penalty called on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes that goes down to on the team that wasn't as aggressive as the other team, but that's just food for thought. All right, you guys can join in on the conversation. I'm sure that all day everybody's been talking about football. We've got other things to talk about. We've got the Rockets to talk about. We've got lots of things that we have on our agenda and a schedule that you might have that we aren't aware of. You can make us aware of it. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. We'll be back in just a mere minutes. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back just getting started in the second hour of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects on a daily basis. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, and we're all present and accounted for, and we always appreciate you participating in the show. Kind of the reason why we call it The Usual Suspects. You guys do a great job staying connected with us, and thus we put it out there on the airwaves. And if you want to do that, we've got some lines open, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. We were talking football before the break, before we switch gears and get to the Rockets and other things. I do want to point out the fact that I did go out on a limb back when Wentz did get hurt and say that I thought that the Eagles could still get to the Super Bowl with one Nick Foles. So, I mean, you get smarter when you listen to this show. I'm just telling you.
Somebody texted and said, The Usual Suspects, home of amateur comedy and world-class camel riding champions. Barry, Mr. Gow needs to give you a raise. That was from Triola Oz. I appreciate all of that except for saying I'm an amateur comedian. I actually get paid. That means I'm a professional.
Yeah. I mean, you hop clubs and do comedy.
All right.
All right. Lost in the shuffle with all the hype and hoopla of NFL football. Was your local five, the Houston Rockets, not only took care of business against the Minnesota Timberwolves the other night, but then in the big showdown with the Golden State Warriors that everybody was watching and waiting for because of the fact that it would be the tiebreaker in a quirk in the schedule that they would only play three times this year. It was the tiebreaker between the Rockets and Warriors. And thanks to Chris Paul, James Harden, and company, Rockets took care of business at home on Saturday night. Where are you and how big of a win that was and your assessment of what you witnessed with those two teams?
Well, it's funny because you just mentioned how you nailed the, you know, ability of the Eagles to make it to the Super Bowl with Foles. And I think the three of us sat here and said, no way they win both of these games.
Yes, we did.
And we were proven wrong. I mean, they went out and they handled their business against the Wolves. I felt like they were setting themselves up for a monumental fourth quarter collapse against the Warriors. And at one point, they had gone down 99-96 or something like that in the fourth. I thought, well, here it comes. And they were able to hold it off. And I think as far as wins go, it's not only is it a big win because you won two out of three against the Warriors now. Not that it would come down to a tiebreak, but if it does, it could help. But I think it's a confidence thing because after having won so many in a row and then suffering so many bad losses and the defense playing so bad, you were not only got the win, you held the Warriors to 108 points, which shows how good your defense played overall against one of the better scoring teams in the league. So I think that they get confidence from all that, and they get confidence from knowing that one of their better bench shooters and starting defenders was not in the game. It has to be nothing but positive and good vibes and confidence for this team.
I will give you for sure, from a confidence factor, that's big. I think from an overconfidence factor, it's huge because Clint Capella obviously drank some Kool-Aid in the locker room after the game with his comments. But look, I completely agree. From a confidence factor alone, that's something that they needed to have happen. I don't like to poo-poo on the parade, but I do like to be a realist and let you know that it's just a regular season game. What I liked the best was after the game when Chris Paul and Harden were interviewed, they could have really built it up. Instead, were realistic in saying, look, it's still just one game. And you go back and you look, and this is what makes it, at least from a standpoint of a basketball purist or someone that loves the game, especially if you love the Rockets, you know now your team can compete with the Golden State Warriors for seven games. I truly believe that. But I think that the one thing that you look at, as well as you can say the Rockets played, down the stretch, the execution didn't change. It's something that I wrote about for the column on Sports Map. I want to see other guys getting opportunities. I thought when Harden and Paul were on the floor together, you would see some of Chris Paul trying to get them into their offense, move the ball quickly, stay with what we said works best for them. But we still got a lot of James Harden dribbling down the shot clock. He made the shot against Curry, which was huge. That was basically the game-deciding shot. But you're still settling for the rock the cradle, run the clock, step back, contested three. And he made it this time. But overall, this is why I like the matchup, and this is why I'm kind of glad they're done for the year, because now both teams can get as healthy and as polished as they want and then let the cards fall what they may. But everyone's hoping for this series to happen in the Western Conference Finals, because it would be fantastic for basketball and for Rockets fans. You just have to look at, from a realistic standpoint, the fact that Golden State missed a lot of shots that they should make. Curry made a lot of really dumb plays that after the game I give him credit for, he admitted, and he actually went back play by play and called for the media to say, look at the fast break where I had Klay on the right, Durant on the left, KD had a dunk, and instead I threw it out to for the off-balance three for Klay that didn't go.
But that's what they do.
No, I know. I'm saying that. But I'm saying, so that was one night they were off. I'd love to see it for seven games because, look, I don't think that even if you're just a casual fan, you would deny the fact that you would be tuned in to watch a seven-game series between those two teams playing that style of play. It was fun.
I will say this, though. I give a lot of credit to James Harden, especially in that fourth quarter. I actually remember tweeting out, like, in the middle of the third quarter or at the end of the third quarter saying, this cannot be one of those fourth quarters where the Rockets can have 15 points and still win this game, something they've been able to get away with for a lot in this season, but not going to get away with it against the Warriors. And that's exactly what they did. Don't forget about the huge block that James Harden had in the third quarter against Curry.
Steal.
Not to mention the and completing it on the other end. I don't know if it was Harden, but it was someone else. Plus the shot that he had over Curry, that was huge. The reality is the whole ball-stopping reputation that James Harden and Chris Paul has, it's not going to go anywhere. I was reading a really important stat that was listed by one of the Golden State Warriors websites, the SB Nation website. And he was kind of being a homer for the Warriors, but he did list some good facts. 31% of the possessions of James Harden's points are on isolation plays. 27% of Chris Paul's plays are isolation plays. And they're the two, they lead the league in percentage of isolation plays. So they're, without a doubt, the two biggest ball stoppers. But that's not going to change.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for them to stop those isolation plays, it's not going to happen. And they've been able to have that success with it, with them stopping the ball. That's just the nature of their game. Will it be a success in the postseason? That's yet to see. They're going to have to prove that.
See, that's the thing. And from an execution standpoint, I don't mind them having iso plays. But what I do mind is late in the shot clock where you don't have options if, say, the defense decides to double team that isolation. And if you still got time on the clock, you can, you know, make a quick kick. If you're Chris Paul, that's part of what he does, right? He draws the defense, and if he gets two defenders, he makes the right pass at the right time to find an Eric Gordon, to find an open shooter, a Trevor Ariza when he's back now. Guys like that. That's what I don't like. If they play their style of play, quick shots within 7 seconds or less, and it's isolation with those two guys, it can still be effective. When I think it's really limiting is you give the opposing team an extra defender in certain regards, because with the shot clock at five or less, they know you don't have time to make that quick twitch, see the double team, kick it out, find someone else. It's going to be you. So then they can cheat, they can help, they can contest, and it becomes more difficult to execute. That's what I got to see them be able to do and find options. Play fast. Still play fast and they'll be fine.
While you guys were talking, I was looking at their schedule and I wanted to see what their, when they had that 5-game losing streak after the, what was it, 15-game winning streak. When they lost the Lakers, the Clippers, the Thunder, the Celtics, and Washington all in a row, they were giving up 116.5 a game. And then over their last 10, they're 7-3 and they're giving up 110 points a game. So you can definitely see the difference that the defense makes. And remember, now they've been without a complete team for a while now. When Mbah Mute went down, and then you've had the suspensions, and James sat out for a little while. So it's going to be nice to see this team get back together, and hopefully they stay healthy and they have the rest of the year to gel and hit the playoffs in stride. Because I would have never said this a year ago, but yes, this is a team that can beat the Warriors.
I said it.
Absolutely is.
In this segment, and you guys know, I'm as hard on them as anybody. And I'm telling you right now, this team can compete with that Golden State Warriors team as it is right now. I don't want to see them Daryl Morey-ing it too much before the trade deadline unless it really truly helps them, because this team can do some things. And to Barry's point, Luke Mbah Mute, when you see why the defense is better, easy to say one player, and it's not just one player we know, but he is such an intangible on the defensive end of the floor. And the other thing is, we had said what's going on with P.J. too. Tucker. But P.J. Tucker,
grinded.
All of a sudden, not only is he grinding on defense, but because he feels good about what he's contributing, he starts making his shots again and made some big shots down the stretch because someone else got to shoot the ball in the fourth quarter. That's, again, what I'm talking about. It's not about the isolation. It's about making sure guys get shots when they're open. They did that. They knocked them down. It was a big win.
My last point about defense in that Warriors game, points scored by quarter for the Warriors, 28 in the first, 30 in the second, 33 in the third, 17 in the fourth.
You hold a team of that caliber to less than 20 points in a fourth quarter,
yep.
You're doing something.
Yep.
So that's
and they had
there.
A game plan. They knew that the Warriors are really strong in the third quarter. And they said that going into the game and after the game. And their goal was to prevent them from having a really explosive third quarter.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, at least they were aware of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the advantage, too, of having an offensive coach as your head coach and a defensive-only coach that can try and study those things, break those things down, and try and put a monkey wrench in what they like to do. So your Rockets got a victory, and we are at the midway point of the show. We've covered the Rockets and the football games, but we've got things that we have on our schedule. If you want to put something on there and get something off your chest that you've been on your mind, please feel free to partake in the show. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back in just a few. We are the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half of The Usual Suspects on a Monday, fun day, where we continue to roll through topics and discuss fun and games like camel racing. If you missed the first hour, Barry is a world champion as he won the camel races at Sam Houston Race Park on Friday night. Video is up online. Podcast is available to catch all of that recap and shenanigans. We were talking some football. We were talking some Rockets in the first half of the show. And by the way, just to kind of wrap up and put a bow, the Rockets talk, Barry's talk about the confidence too. Sometimes you can get overconfident. You know that I had a little bit of an issue when Daryl Morey said that we are obsessed with the Golden State Warriors and we think about them every day and all the time. And I was like, just don't do that. Don't give them any bulletin board material, whatever you want to call it. And the one thing that I noticed in a confidence thing, factor, they interviewed Capella after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he said for 99% of the interview was exactly what you're talking about. Confident. They like what they've got. They did what they're supposed to do. It's great. And, you know, then he finishes it off after a pause with, we're better than them. And I'm like, Clint, you could have left that one in your back pocket.
Easy.
Yeah, if you had the fishing reel, you probably would have started reeling that thing in before it got completely out of your pie hole. But instead, you had this.
Can I be the Rockets homer, though?
Yeah.
Can I have the Rockets homer? The audio that I had didn't say that. I'm like, I really believe that was some exclusive.
This was Tim McMahon.
Tim McMahon, ESPN.
Yep.
Because I was there and I didn't hear it, so maybe. And it was not included in my video. But I will say this. When they do take them back to those national interview hits, and you know what room I'm talking about,
yep.
A lot of times they're indirectly swaying them to say something. They're trying to get that quote out of there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Clint being the nice guy that he is, I can see him like, whatever, man, I'm going to throw you a bone. Here's a quote. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened
so
here.
So you're saying it was probably, do you think you guys are better than the Warriors?
Yes, I can.
And him being like, yeah, I mean, dude, but what athletes are they? Oh, no, we just beat them, but no, they're better than us.
And I'm sorry,
we beat them two out of three, but they're better than us.
Are the guilty ones in that. They're the worst
because
about
that's
that.
That's the grab. That's the grab for ratings. That's the grab for hits online. But you know what? It's just like when we talk about reality TV, what really happens as opposed to what ends up on the cutting room floor when, you know, at the end of the day, when they can make it sound and spin it however they want.
Right.
But if you look at McMahon's full quote from Capella, he said, we're confident. We know we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're going to beat them. We've got to keep playing. We know we got to come back if we have the lead and they come back. It's just a mindset. Sometimes I feel like in the past we were all dragged down by mistakes. Today we were ready. I think if we're doing what we're supposed to do on defense and all the switches and the weak sides, play our offense, keep that mentality all game long. We have the weapons to beat them and then finish with, we are better than them. So there is a little bit of that kind of tinge of he is confident because of what he said in that paragraph. But I do agree with you, Nick. Unless you're actually there for the entire thing, you can say that that was part of one quote or piece them together, but we don't know how it was used unless we saw the video and we saw it start to finish without any.
And just to add a little perspective, like I told you, a lot of times is what we call a gangbang, where there's like a whole bunch of media members surrounding one person, all with, you know, cameras and microphones in the guy's face. And then when that little crowd kind of disappears, one or two savvy media members will go back and try to get an exclusive quote. And you don't know how it was set up. You don't know if he was trying to lure him to say that particular quote. You don't know how the question was set up, what the tone was to the question. You don't know any of that.
Well, that's why you find the PR person always kind of lurking behind those gangbang situations, because they know at some point someone's going to try and get someone to say, and in most cases, before the guy can even get the first noise out of his mouth to answer it, they'll come in and go, okay, he's done. That's it. That's enough.
Yeah.
To try and avoid those things from happening.
Somebody texted and said, I know that the talk is how bad the Cavs are right now, but the Thunder are rolling. No chance that they contend. Think people are sleeping on them in a bad start. They're 6-5 in their last 11. I wouldn't say they're rolling.
No, they're not rolling, but they're starting to put it together.
They're beating some teams.
They put 148 on the Cavs, which is partly on the Cavs, but also partly on the Warriors. The fact that Melo's figuring it out. He's had a 27 and a 29.
They've won 4 in a row, but before that, they lost 3 in a row.
That's fine.
So, I mean,
I'm just saying, but 4 in a row means they're starting to put it together. I wouldn't say they're rolling. But on national TV, to go and put 148 on the Cavs at Cleveland is at least heading in the right direction, as opposed to what they've done early in the year when they're crapping the bed against Sacramento.
I would agree with you if Cleveland was 3-7 in their last 10.
No, they're struggling.
Cleveland's, and that's the thing. So, I mean, you look at, they've got wins over Charlotte, Sacramento, Los Angeles, and Cleveland in a row. Before that, they dropped 3 to Phoenix, Portland, and Minnesota. To me, the problem with the Thunder is they're Jekyll and Hyde. They'll win 6 in a row and then they'll lose 4 in a row. And you're like, well, what team is this going to be? And it seems like they've been doing it all year. They weren't really streaky before in the first month or two, but recently it's like they just have these hot and cold streaks. But I'm not doubting them though. But right now,
there's too much talent on that team to sit there at the bottom half. I mean, the biggest thing you can look at is, because look, I'm not going to sleep on them, and I think they're playing better. And we still have a half a season to go. But the biggest thing is, instead of being the ninth spot where everybody said they're not even going to make the playoffs, they're lurking behind Minnesota at 5, and they're on the cusp of getting into a home court advantage situation. And like I said, anytime you put those three guys on the floor together with the likes of Steven Adams and some of the guys they can bring off the bench, you got to pay attention to them.
I'll tell you, the team to watch that might start falling a little is the Spurs. They're 4-6 in their last 10 and tied with Minnesota 7.5 games behind the Warriors, but
they got more issues than just what's going on the floor, too. They lost again last night. They've benched Tony Parker. And I said to you guys, everybody's talking about this Parker situation and the fact that Pop said it's finally time for him to come off the bench.
Yeah, I was. I didn't even realize that, but I was promoting a show in San Antonio on a website called My SA, and I look over and I see a headline out of nowhere that just says, Parker no longer the starting point guard for the Spurs. I was like, uh-oh, is it? That's a bad sign when you have a team. And then you mentioned the fact that that Kawhi's not happy.
Yeah, the bigger story than Tony Parker is the fact that Kawhi has started to distance himself, according to rumors, with the San Antonio coaching staff and front office. Doesn't like any of the situation with his injuries. Not real happy and confident with the support he's been getting from the franchise. That's bad news if you're a Spurs fan, because that's the one guy that you need to make sure is hyper happy, because he's going to be the long-term leader of the Spurs. So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on everything that's going on in San Antonio, because if the Patriots are the dynasty in the NFL, the Spurs are the model franchise dynasty in the NBA, and that's one franchise you never thought would be dealing with some unhappy feelings.
Yeah, of all, you would think, okay, well, the Spurs are always going to be the Spurs, rock solid, leadership is good, players are good,
everybody
management is
Pop,
good,
everybody's
happy, and it doesn't take much.
By the way, only Mike would ask this question, but I ask you, is that website S period A or S A or S A? Like, S A? No?
S A for San Antonio.
Okay. So, with all that being said, we know OU Mike, because we know that the biggest question coming out of the Houston area leading into the weekend was not if Tom Brady's hand was okay. It's what the hell does OU Mike look like? Without further ado, OU Mike joins the show. Mike, what's up?
Let's go with Luke and Batamute, CP3 Harden and the boys. Because with Luke and Batamute, seems like the Rockets make noise. Oh, darling.
Not bad, Mike.
clean too.
Yeah,
I watch Nick like he's playing Galaga. He's got his finger on the button, just ready to go.
That actually wasn't bad. There was thought. I'll give it a 7 out of 10. That was pretty darn good. I mean, it was off key, obviously.
Rhymed a little bit. The country, most country music is.
But yeah, I mean, if you,
I mean, I give it a 4.
What?
Nice. Yeah, I'm not giving.
Do you
it.
Not
I'm
know the nice. Song that he was doing? Have you ever heard the song Lukenbach, Texas?
Yeah, no, I didn't. But still,
so look, when we go out, play Lukenbach, Texas.
Okay.
And you'll see, and you don't have to worry about finding a clean version. They're all clean. It's old people country, so they're all
did
just
we
like.
Ever find out what part of the world the OU Mike lives in? Like, what part of
the bottom? I don't know where it is. It's just the bottom. That's all we have to refer to it as.
Cut and shoot, Texas.
It's possible.
I mean,
but yeah, normally he probably, where he's from, they shoot first. What's so the you name don't of cut, song you just again? Shoot.
He Lukenbach, Texas.
L-U-K-E.
That was one of my favorite songs as a kid.
I've heard it.
I don't know why, but it was.
And I at least was able to recognize the melody, so I knew where he was going. But I was dangerous. I was with Nick. I was thinking he was dangerously close to.
We got back to the basics of love. That's the jam.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas. Wailing and wailing.
Nick, right about now, you want to grab your little Philly?
Why are you shaking your head?
There's 13 million views on this damn YouTube song.
Yeah.
13 million views.
It's a classic. Hatfields and McCoy. Nick, it's a classic.
I don't want to disrespect Waylon Jennings.
About midnight on a Saturday.
And you know what? You're not going to. Or you will get fought. You will get fought.
I don't want the people of Cut and Shoot, Texas, to get really angry at me.
Any country bar, Nick, at about midnight, you're going to get this. Because you've been staring at that little filly all night long across the dance floor. And it's about time for y'all to get acquainted. That's what you're going to get. Slide your boots on over there.
That was, he said, time to get acquainted.
Yep. What they do.
This is a good ass song, though. You don't. Yeah.
Let her play for a while then.
I'm not disrespecting it.
I know you're not. Like I said, you'll get fought. I don't want that to happen to you. So.
You just keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars, little buckaroo.
What does that even mean? I don't know
Casey Kasem's. Oh, that's his catchphrase.
I know
of all
what
time.
It is, but what does it have to do with Lukenbach?
Just don't diss on it.
Oh, just, all right. You know what else you shouldn't diss on? Healthy Gourmet. Look, I know with our usual suspects weight loss challenge, a lot of you are looking for healthy alternatives. You want to eat healthy. You want to lose weight. Or maybe some of you out there are just looking for good food that's good for you, that tastes good, that you don't have to make. Because that's me. I'm lazy. I don't want to make food. That's why I like HealthyGourmet.com. I'm telling you guys, you need to go check this out right now. Just log on to HealthyGourmet.com. You get on there. You can make custom meals. You can order pre-made meals. And the great thing is all of their meals are made from scratch. And you can customize them online. You can add sauces and carbs. If you don't want carbs, you can go with a low-carb option, gluten-free. Maybe you're doing paleo. You just want low-calorie, vegan. It's all there. You can filter it out and find the meals that you want. Get them ordered and then have them delivered to your door. You can't beat that. I'm telling you right now. It's not boring food either. It tastes good. They've got pulled pork, chili, jambalaya, and they pack it all with flavor, not calories. So you know you're eating good and it tastes good and you're not going to gain weight. And the cool thing is their portion control. Like I used to do a diet where I would count points, and then I would eat their meals that came with that diet. And I would have to eat two of them at one meal to get full, not with Healthy Gourmet. I had a piece of fruit, and I had one meal today, and it was good, and I'm full, and I'm satisfied. And that's how you lose weight, and that's how you stay healthy, and that's how you get fit. So log on right now, HealthyGourmet.com. Get on there. The average meal is about $8. And right now, you can use promo code ESPN975. You'll get 10% off your meal. And if you order $100 of food, which you're going to eat anyways in a week, they'll give you free shipping. So go right now, give it a shot. HealthyGourmet.com. Try the chili, try the jambalaya. ESPN975. Save 10% and free shipping with $100. Do it now.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back as we are deep into hour number two of the three-hour show we call The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday after the NFL Conference Championships. We talked about that. We talked about the Rockets. We've covered a lot of ground. Still more to get to. And one thing I do want to give is a shout-out to all of you, the suspects out there, that asked for it and got it. And we kind of created it for you, and you are taking the bull, and you are running with it, unlike 100.3. You have taken this weight loss challenge and you are doing some things. It is fantastic to see people getting results. It is great to see the dedication. It is neat to see. We have a Facebook page. If you go to The Usual Suspects for the weight loss challenge, you can find our the Facebook group page where people are doing everything from posting their healthy meals to their workouts to Mo is out there making sure that you know tips of the day and things that you can work on. But I just saw Dr. Dre on 290 lost 3 or 4 pounds last week.
That's badass.
I know that Chris and some of the guys are posting how well they're doing and they're staying dedicated to this thing. And
I had to call BS on something Chris did, though.
Uh-oh.
He posted, he was like, here they are, cauliflower wings.
Oh, I saw that.
For the game.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, he said, they taste amazing and could easily satisfy my wing craving. And I was like, I don't know if I could do that. But that's great if you like it. But he's like, no.
Same thing with,
he said, no, it's really good. I was iffy. It just like the, I had a healthy gourmet meal today, and it was the sweet potato lasagna. Mm-hmm. And I was a bit skeptical, as you guys know. When I warmed it up, I was like, I don't know about this. I've never had lasagna with, instead of the carbs, they had sweet potato. I was like, I don't know. It was really good.
Yeah.
And so that's when I thought about Chris. I was like, well, maybe I didn't give him enough credit. Maybe the wing, the cauliflower wings are good, because I don't like cauliflower, but if you dipped it in hot wing sauce.
But here's my question. Aren't they still deep fried? I looked at the picture, and the one thing I thought is, yeah, it's not chicken, but
they
the most.
And I deep think fried they, I want to say
yeah,
they
the
do
vital
like a,
thing that you want to avoid is the deep fry. Right.
Yeah, but if you did it in a healthier oil, and it's not the meat, so it's going to be a veggie. So really, it's just the vegetable oil.
I've seen the cauliflower pizza, and cauliflower crusted pizza, and I was like, I can't try that.
See, I'm with you, but I was skeptical of the sweet potato lasagna. I was like, because healthy gourmet says, and I was like, I don't know about this. I'm not gonna lie. It was
I'm telling
good.
You right now, the one thing that I've noticed more than lying. Anything, and I'm not like you. I don't weigh every day, but I can notice, like playing basketball Saturday, I could notice no soreness in my joints. A lot of things because you're going down. The other thing was I stayed with my regimen all week, which was all healthy and mostly plant based. And then last night, we were so busy doing so many things. Then I got into the football games. I looked at the clock. I was like, I still haven't eaten. Lisa's like, I'm going to order you Chinese, but I'm going to order you a healthy plate, steamed broccoli, chicken, and rice.
Why even waste your time then?
But then I'm also going to order you your chicken fried rice if you want any of it. And normally I would eat both, and I would clean it up.
Uh-huh.
I ate the meal, the healthy stuff, and I had probably a little less than half of the fried rice, and my body said, you're done. You're enough, really? You're full, you're good. And that, in a nutshell, to me, was telling me...
It's progress.
Yeah, it's turning the corner.
That's good, man. That's real good.
So it's good. So, okay. So we just want to make sure that you guys, if you... it's too late to get in on the actual challenge itself, but you can still play along.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you already signed up and you want some extra encouragement, check out the Facebook page. There's a lot of people really doing some good stuff.
And even if you're not in the actual weight loss challenge, if you didn't make weigh-ins in time, but you still want to lose weight, you still want to... get healthy along with us and all the then go to the Facebook page. Just get on the search box and type in The Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. Join the page, and when we have the run, I was thinking about that with the run. I think we should do it in like different, like you run more than me. You're out running all the time. Like I just ran.
Last week I did I think two sessions on the treadmill.
And
two,
you, what do you run about? What mile wise? No, but like per mile.
Probably 9 minute miles. Okay. Nine or 10 minute miles.
So what I was thinking is we should do, when we do our run in Memorial Park, we'll have three different groups. People that want to run with you, people that want to jog with me, and people that want to walk with
me. I'm not sure I'm the runner guy yet. You're totally walking with me.
No.
You're totally the runner. More than me. Because
I don't know.
I'll jog, but I think we could break it up into those three classes. And then, Nick, you guys can walk the 3 miles. I'll jog the 3 miles, and you can run. Okay. I think we could do that.
Yeah, I'm still, I mean, like tonight I'm going to get on the tread again, but I mean, I've got certain people throwing me suggestions there's no way in hell I'm doing because they're just psychotic. But people are like, a guy I play basketball with is a firefighter. And he's like, now, if you really want to do something, he's like, you get on the treadmill and you set it to its highest incline point and you walk for like 6 minutes and then you put it on at least speed six and more and you try and run that for another. And I'm like, no. He goes, guaranteed to lose at least 5 pounds every week. I'm like, no, that I like to keep sanity while I run and I'm not exactly breaking any world speed records. So, no, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, check those things out. Like I said, play along. Even if you didn't get signed up but you still want to kind of get your healthy lifestyle going, just follow along. Get on the Facebook page. Get the tips from Mo on Twitter, and you'll do some things right for yourself starting out the new year.
Yep, Houston Family Nutrition on Twitter.
Yep. Man, Mo's been great about jump. As soon as the show starts every day, he's normally already tweeted in with a tip of the day. Okay, and Nick, I got a feeling Jason's going to break down a little Lukenbach, Texas song for you. So let's get Jason in here. Jason, what's up?
Jason!
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
So I've been to Lukenbach 2 times.
Yep.
It's a cool little bar out in the middle of nowhere, like the post office and a bar. That's it, right? They have concerts there, whatever. But the first time I went, two guys in there drinking, one old man driving a dump truck, right? So they're pretty cool. We talked to them all. Next time I go back, the younger guy's there, and I'm like, where's your buddy Whitey at? He's like, well, Whitey's in the pen. I'm like, what's Whitey in the pen for? Oh, he got his fifth DWI in the dump truck.
Oh, God, in the dump truck.
That's in the dump truck.
Wow.
Leaving the bar. Yeah, that's really it. I tried to give you the condensed version.
I don't know what's less surprising, is that there's a guy named Whitey in Lukenbach, or they got a DWI for driving drunk in a dump truck. I'm not sure which is less surprising to me. Appreciate the call, Jason.
Yeah, at least it was a motorized vehicle.
Right. There is a, I mean, Lukenbach is just, it's right outside, or just north, I want to say, of San Antonio. Or the Hill Country.
Okay.
So it's like a place where you go and you don't want to spend the weekend.
You could have told me it was anywhere and I'd agreed with you.
Yeah. It's just a little low. It's just, I think it's really just like he said, it used to be a town with a post office, but now it's just a bar. That's it.
That's the whole town?
That's the whole thing is just a bar. But they'll have outdoor concerts there all the time and it's a very popular destination. But
really?
Yeah. The song did it way more justice than what it is now.
I guess so. I guess it was put on the map and it's hanging on now.
Yeah, barely.
So Nick, you gonna go to a country bar and request that song?
Nope.
Nick, you ever been?
I have. There was one in or used to be by Katie Mills. You know, like the what is the circular dance floors that they have? What are they called?
You could get yourself in more trouble here.
A
circular dance floor, and you basically dance in a circle.
He's talking about doing. You do the two step.
Yeah, I think it's a two-step.
No, I mean, you're talking about the do-si, you're talking about square dancing?
Might be. I don't know.
Just throw it out
square
there.
Square dancing is when they
kinda
call
like
it later.
Kind of like me with Lukenbach. Throw it out there. Do-si-do. Nick's going to go, yep, that's what I was talking
now
about.
Now promenade.
No, no.
You're talking about when they go slow dancing couples when they do the two-stepping, right?
Yeah, no. They just kind of they go around
it's
the
like
dance
shuffling.
Floor.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's two-stepping.
Yeah.
Okay. That's You've the done only that? Thing. Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was terrible at it.
Yeah. You were?
Absolutely.
Did you, was it a friend that you danced with, or did you just go ask some random chick not knowing what you were doing?
No, I went with somebody.
Okay. Yeah that's
and
the best thing.
She was trying to show me. I wasn't about to just
two
learn
left
from
feet.
Some random stranger. Okay. No. Yeah.
Stepping all on her feet. And...
Oh, I was stepping all over her feet, but it was my friend, so it was
right.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, women do like a guy that can dance well. If you can, even if it's salsa dancing, country dancing, if you can, you know, whether it's just whatever, but if you can dance well, women love that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's very true. Shoe Hartner, man.
I thought I was going to have to learn how to salsa dance when I married Nora.
Uh-huh.
Nope. I got lucky. She doesn't.
Me too. Yep. Lisa doesn't really care to get out on the dance floor, and I'm good with it. I'm fine with that. Those days are past for me.
Yeah.
A little more agile and mobile back in the day.
Did you tell the truth? Did you ever at least once in a club do the running man on the dance floor?
Whether I was serious or not, I don't know, but I'm sure there had to be at least one time.
Oh, I was going to say, knowing how you came up and everything, I would say for sure that was the case.
I don't think there's any question.
Okay. Yeah.
I also used to be able to do the standing, go down, do the splits, and pop back up.
I think you should try it right now.
Nope.
I think
not
right now.
Not going to happen. Ever since I sprained every ligament in my knee at one point, and all the guys on my team were like, you can still do it, man. It's the way mentally you can get over the hump, and I did it, and it felt like lightning going through my leg. I'm like, ah, that's something I'm not going to do
anymore. Would be more worried when my balls will just bing, pop out.
It's like riding a camel on a Friday night.
Yeah, just bing. Pretty much.
Humping for love. All right, we've got two in the books. One to go, the big show. 1 hour left in the extravaganza. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You might like what the Eagles did yesterday, but are you good on their fans? Ugh. Jeez. Some of that stuff that was on social media yesterday needs to be brought up and discussed. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. Back with a whole lot of the final hour in just mere minutes right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.